The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you. I got a great guest in studio, and we're going to have some great fun today. Yes, very fun guest. Happily caught her in town while she was hailing from California on her book tour. So you guys get to hear her in studio and catch her on the Facebook live stream as well. So that means, of course, you don't have to look at me for the entire hour. But let us get started with our quotes of the day from Abraham and from the universe. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe: I didn't give you the power, the glory, and the kingdom so that you could just eke by, be selfless, and make sacrifices. I didn't give you dominion over all things so that just a few of your dreams might come true. I gave you these things so that you could have, do, and be whatever you want. So be it, the universe. Nice little quote from the universe, kind of reminding us that we're not here just to eke by. We're not here just to, you know, sacrifice and give everything up for other people. You know, we're here to have our dreams come true. We're here to create incredible, incredible things. The big dreams, you know, not the small dreams, not the little like, oh, I just want to, you know, get a nicer car, or I just want to have a bigger house. No. The universe doesn't play that small. The universe wants you to, like, you know, create new worlds and change people's lives and inspire people to even greater and bigger things. You know, we're not here to just barely get by. We're here to thrive, and we're here to inspire other people to thrive. And we're here to see our dreams come true so that other people can see that their dreams can come true as well. And that the universe is here supporting us all the time. And that we have the power. We have the glory and the kingdom. It's all ours. We just have to believe it. We just have to act like it, and things will happen. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Interesting combination of quotes. There is the potential for relief, feeling better, indefinitely. In other words, we do not know any ending point to the amount of clarity, adventure, and joy and well-being. It is an unlimited thing. Abraham. So this is a slightly different one from Abraham, talking about how there really is no end to our potential. There is no ending point of, like, this is only as good as we're going to feel. There is there, according to Abraham, there is no ending point to the amount of joy, clarity, happiness, adventure. There is just, it keeps unfolding and getting more and more and more over time, and that there is no limit to it. And it kind of goes back a little bit to our first quote from the universe, how, you know, we're not here to just play small and just a little bit. There is an unending amount of amazing things in store for us in this universe. You know, some people say, oh, but Sam, you know, there's only like, you know, so many resources. We can only do so much stuff. You know, this is a limited world. And I always say the only limitation that we really have is in our own imaginations. Because even if you, and I'm going to take like a really mundane, like basic example that some people may disagree with, but let's just take a look at just physical resources, right? People think, well, you know, there's only, you know, so many resources we have here on Earth. And I say right there, it shows the limited thinking and the lack of imagination. But many, many years ago, I heard the statistic out of NASA that, you know, there's this whole ring of asteroids floating around in between Mars and Jupiter. And they're all different sizes, you know, some small, some large. It's like 2,000 of them. They're all just basically dead rocks floating in space. And if we were to go out there and just mine all the metals, the copper and aluminum and gold and silver and just all the ore on one 5-kilometer diameter asteroid that's out there, we would have more metals than we have ever mined on the planet Earth since the beginning of civilization. Let that sink in for a minute. That's just one out of thousands. And that's just in the asteroid belt. And that's just in this solar system. And that's just in this galaxy. So there is an infinite, as far as we're concerned, amount of resources out there that we can potentially do something with. And that's why I say the only limitation we have in this world is our own imagination. There is only our own imagination limits how much good we can do, how much you know, food there is to feed people, how much we can be educated, how much we can inspire and uplift and enliven people. So please remember these two wonderful, wonderful quotes today from the universe and from Abraham, all about, I guess, the infinite potential of this universe and ourselves. Ooh, I really love these. And I think these quotes are rather apropos for our guest today. So let us flip around our camera so you guys get to see our lovely, beautiful guest in studio. I'd like you to meet Maria Felipe.
Yeah.
She's the author of the new book, Live Your Happy, Get Out of Your Own Way, and Find Love Within. And I have a copy of it right here. Ooh, there you go. And so, Maria is an amazing woman. After a very successful career, acting career that resulted in dozens of appearances in nationwide commercials, hosting successful TV shows, including the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, and traveling the world as a model, Maria felt called inward and became a reverend. Can you believe this amazing woman is a reverend? With Pathways of Light, a school inspired by A Course in Miracles. Maria has had her own channel on YouTube with her show, Maria Coconut TV. I have to ask you about that one. A show designed to share and expand the message of love by interviewing other spiritual leaders. See, like, you know, we always get like these amazing people very much close to our hearts. She's also appeared as a motivational speaker on TV shows and news programs for Univision, Telemundo, and CNN. And we are really happy that her travels bring her to New York City and to the studios here at Talking Alternative. for the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome, Maria. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for having me. And what a beautiful introduction. And I'm happy, too, because I feel that this is what really matters. The collaboration, you know, the book tour's fun and having the book is great. But these opportunities to join for the higher good, for the awakening, is what really matters.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
it gets me really happy.
Good. Right. And you can keep getting happier, right?
Yes.
It's like there's no end to the happiness.
Yes.
You can just keep going. So I'm just curious, Maria, you know, you have kind of a little bit of a different life story, shall we say. You know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, she's had all this success, you know, how come she became so spiritual? Because we have a tendency to think that sometimes it takes a lot of struggle and it takes a lot of, you know, being knocked around a little bit for us to kind of wake up. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious. Well, first, I'm just curious about your acting career a little bit. Did you know as a little girl, like, you always wanted to be an actress?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely knew I wanted to do acting. I would always put on shows when people would come over to visit. And I was just fascinated with the acting world. I was always performing, you know, and singing. And so I knew that I did. But I also was very highly spiritual when I was little. You know,
really?
It's like I knew a lot of. You know, I was just very sensitive. I remember even, you know, listening and feeling the presence of Holy Spirit when I was only 11 years old, like Spirit telling me that we have the answer within.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I felt it. I had like a little mystical experience with Holy Spirit sitting right next to me and sharing with me that it's here. And I was very young. But what happens is that I got into the society and I blocked that out.
Right.
But I was always highly sensitive. And I feel that we all are. I feel that we all know that we know that there's more than this.
Right.
But I feel that what we do is we just block it and we just pretend that it's not there, but it is.
Right.
You know, and that's what happened to me. I felt that I'm always highly connected to God, to love, to source. But I just denied that because I started to get tranced out by the world. About the form.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of guests come on my show that all kind of say the same thing, that as little children, like, they were psychic or they're sensitive and they could see things and hear things and feel things. But then, like, as they got older and all of a sudden they realized, oh, not everybody has this ability. And then all of a sudden they get teased or made fun of, or their parents tell them, oh, no, don't talk about that. And then we have a tendency to kind of shut it down until some point later in life. But where did you grow up?
I grew up in Miami.
In Miami,
yeah,
okay.
I grew up in Miami. And it's interesting how you're sharing about that, because my dad was Presbyterian and my mother was Catholic.
Ah.
And I remember even knowing that young, I felt like I was doing what the kids were doing, which is going to Catholic catechism. How do you say it?
The catechism.
Yeah. And I was going to that because it was a cool thing to do.
Right.
But I remember being there and I remember being asked to go to the priest and confess my sins, or that I remember going to class and saying that same-sex marriage is not okay, or that having sex before marriage is not okay. Like, all these things were being said in this class.
Right.
And I remember coming home and I was very young, and I went to talk to my parents and I was like, I don't want to be Catholic. And my mom is like, what do you mean? Why not? And I was like, because they're telling me to confess my sins, and I'm not a sinner. Like, want me to confess my sins to this priest and I'm not a sinner? And also they're saying this weird thing that same-sex people can be together. Like, that's not very loving. So I knew this from very young. And I decided at that moment that I wouldn't be Catholic, that I would just be, you know, free. And then further along is when I found Unity, a Unity Church, which is a non-denominational church.
Yes.
And that's where I felt at home, when I saw, you know, gay, straight people. I saw, you know, people that were Catholic or Buddhism, everybody in the same space.
Right.
And I think that that's more.
Right. Where it was more about like love and acceptance than about following the rules.
Yeah. That's fun. That's
right.
Fun.
Right. Exactly. I gotcha. Okay. It's time for our first break. Let's go out for a break. And when we come back, then let's talk about, you know, your kind of how, once you started acting and stuff, like, what kind of brought you to the point to say, like, oh, I need to, like, remind myself of those things I knew as a little girl.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yay. Great. So, everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with Maria Felipe, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Maria
Felipe
about her book, Live Your Happy, and about her life. So, Maria, so we talked last segment about how, you know, Catholicism didn't really sit too well with you. I guess you're like what a lot of my friends say, you're a recovering Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And you eventually became this actress and model, and I'm assuming because of your appearances on Telemundo and Univision that you obviously spoke a lot to the Spanish population,
mm-hmm.
a Spanish-speaking population. At what point did you kind of come back around to, or what point did you really kind of feel that thing inside of you calling you back to, like, hey, like there's something deeper, something more that life wants from you, that's calling forth from you?
Well, I realized that when I was unhappy.
You know, okay.
I realized it because I had the TV show. You know, mm-hmm. I worked for WWF at the time, which is now WWE, which is World Wrestling Entertainment.
Right. Right.
And I got that show out of like 500 girls. And I got a pretty lucrative contract, you know, about 45 episodes.
Uh-huh.
And it's the dream job that I have been looking for, you know,
right.
even before when I was a model. And I also booked television commercials or soap operas. And I started to feel this feeling of excitement at the very beginning, which I call mm-hmm. cheerleader happiness. You know,
right.
it's like the happiness that comes from form.
Right.
And then I'm doing this job and I'm a hot mess.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not happy. I don't feel worthy of the job. When I was doing WWF, I remember being there and not feeling worthy of it.
And what exactly were you doing for them?
I was hosting a show for them. It was called Los Super Astros. It was on Univision.
Okay.
And they would use the English audience for Raw's War, which is live.
Right.
And then they would do our show with their audience. So it was live in front of 20,000 people. I would do the
wow.
show. And I was interviewing the good guys and the bad guys. So when they would come
okay.
off the ring, I would interview them. But at the time, there was, you know, The Rock was there when he mm-hmm. first started. So I interviewed
sure.
him a lot. Stone Cold Steve Austin, all these like
right.
really big famous wrestlers. And I just remember being so nervous. First of all, I was around men mm-hmm. all the time. And
right.
they were a little bit of a bullies sometimes.
Right. Not just men, but like big men.
Yeah, yeah. Like sometimes I mean, not to go there, but I would be interviewing.
Uh-huh.
Like I would be doing an interview and I would be in the locker and they would like just fart, you know, like while I'm interviewing, like
yeah.
to mess with me. And
right.
it's live. So I would
right.
have to do it again and
right.
again. They would just kind of do fun things like that.
Right.
Which at the time I would take personally. I didn't like it, you know, like nowadays I wouldn't personalize it. But
right.
at that time I did.
Right.
Then my Spanish was an issue because my Spanish is really good, but there's different dialects.
Right.
And
right.
The Spanish television likes very neutral Spanish, a Mexican
mm-hmm.
Spanish. And I didn't have that. I have a Cuban background, so it's different.
Okay.
So I remember going to, you know, classes for
mm-hmm.
my. So all these insecurities made me feel unworthy of something that I so wanted.
Mm.
But I remember going back to my hotel room when I'm on the road and not feeling good. I remember crying a lot. I remember reading the Bible a lot. I remember just searching for this emptiness I felt inside that I thought that the show was going to give me.
Right.
You know,
right.
or that accolade was going to give me, you know, being
right.
on television. And it didn't fill me because I started to realize that there has to be something more
right.
than me chasing this carrot. You know, right. I feel that we're constantly just taking chasing carrots. And then I have the show. And then if the show's not enough, then I do a commercial. And then the commercial's not enough. And then, oh, let me go into relationships. And if I don't have the boyfriend, then, you know, that's another carrot. And then right. I have the boyfriend. And then, oh, then I'm not still not happy because now I'm jealous and I'm a psycho, you know. It's like you can't win, you know.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I just realized that's how I realized that's how things started changing when I realized that I'm not happy.
Right.
Regardless of what's going on in form.
Was there one particular thing, or was it just sort of a buildup of all of this stuff that kind of like, was there anything that like pushed you over the edge that said like, that's it, I got to get serious about this and really find out what's going on with me?
Yeah, it was the buildup. It was a buildup, you know, all my 20s. It was a buildup. It was like I had self-help desperation, you know.
Yeah.
So like a lot of us have were like Barnes & Nobles at the time and just getting all these books and, you know,
and
Oprah,
audio tapes and
Oprah, then Anthony Robbins, and then walking my dogs with affirmations and Kumbaya and I would feel good. I would feel good Monday and Tuesday. And then, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, I'm a hot mess, you know, because it was speaking more to my intellect. Like, I know all these things.
Right.
I know that I'm love. I know that I'm light. But it's speaking more into the intellect of things that I know. But just because I know it doesn't mean anything, because I need to really believe that.
Right.
And I need to live it. That's why the book is called Live Your Happy and Live That.
Right. And I mean, from my point of view, as many of my listeners know, I'm working with a sort of a shamanic tradition where, you know, there's not just mind, like in the West, we're all up in our heads, we're in mind, but there's also heart, body, and spirit as well, the other points on the wheel. And it's like, okay, it's great to know something, but it's got to be in your heart. You've got to instill it in your body, and it's got to be in your spirit. So it takes all four working together for you to truly get something, to truly live something. So how did you find A Course in Miracles?
So through that process that we were just talking about, of like, it took me time to understand that.
Right.
During that period of time of such desperation and sadness, I went to Barnes & Nobles and I saw Mary Williamson's book, A Return to Love. And I saw her face and it looked like it just called me. I had to read that book. And I read it, and you have this like Jewish woman talking about Jesus left and right and talking about A Course in Miracles, this blue book. And I'm like, who's this white Jewish lady talking about Jesus in the Course in Miracles? Like, what is this? And I loved a lot of the concepts within the book. And a lot of it is A Course in Miracles. It is based on the Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
And I got intrigued, but I wasn't ready at the time. I was still, you know, suffering, and I was addicted to my suffering. And that's what we do. We want to heal, but not really, you know, sometimes, because we're used to being in that vicious cycle.
You got some thumbs up on that one on the live stream.
So then I went to Unity of Burbank. I mean, Unity of Miami, to go to church. That's where I found the church. Okay. And they had a workshop. And coincidentally enough, it was a workshop of A Course in Miracles. And I was thought of, oh, it was that Jewish lady with the blue book. And I just kind of like connected it. And that was 1995. I read her book and I found the workshop in 2001. So it took me some time. So I'm sitting there in the workshop, and this heavy set man, very, very nice man with a really great smile, says, this is what The Course in Miracles is. The Course in Miracles is that you are responsible for your experience. You're not a victim of the world that you see, and you forgive people for what they didn't do. I was like, holy crap. Like, what do you mean? Like, what?
Like what?
That's
like
upside down thinking.
Right.
And that's when my life would begin to change. And not right away. It was more of, I knew that there was something more than this. And I felt that even though I didn't understand those concepts, I felt that they were very empowering.
Yes.
To be able to sit with, you're not a victim of the world that you see, and that you're completely responsible, is so powerful.
Right.
And before, I wasn't playing that role. I wasn't being responsible. I was a victim.
Right.
So that's when it all started shifting for me. And then I would study The Course in Miracles for, you know, approximately like, you know, over 10 years. And I would go to the group once a week. And Sam, I was still a hot mess.
That's good. I'm glad you said that, because sometimes I think our audience thinks, well, yeah, once you start doing all that stuff, then everything is great, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
It takes something. You know, I was going to it, but again, I knew it intellectually. It's like I would go to the course group on Monday and I felt really, really good for a few days. And then I would be in the course group, you know, just proclaiming that I am love, which we all are, you know, I am love. And then I would be looking for love outside of myself. myself during the week. So it was like I needed to get to the point of I am love and I am love. And not constantly looking for that outside of myself.
Right, but really feeling it. You know, it's one thing to say it, and it's one thing to, like, intellectually know it, but to really feel it in your body is another thing.
Yeah, feel it and also be very mindful of what we're doing. You know, we're talking about the mind earlier, discerning. Right, like, the mind is so powerful. I know you brought that up early on. And to really discern, wow, hold on a second. I'm looking for my love in this man, or I'm looking for my love in my career, or I'm saying on Monday I am love and I am as God created me. And then during the week, I'm not practicing that.
Right.
So that's why this whole thing about living is so vital. Because we get stuck in the self-help and these affirmations and even the course. You know, I tell course students, you know, they have these 365 lessons at the end where you work on it every day. And then you have the text and then you go to groups. I'm saying now, like, just close the book, like close the self-help books, you know, close the Course in Miracles, throw it out the window. I don't know what you need to do. But the time has come to embody these principles and like you said, really know them to be true for you and live them without compromise. That's the problem.
Ooh.
Without compromise.
Without compromise. That sounds like a tough one.
Yeah. It is, because, you know, we don't want to be responsible all the time.
Right.
But we want to be happy.
Right.
This doesn't make sense. We still want to be victims, you know, at least a little bit.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, wow, you know, let's do this without compromise.
Right.
Because you know why I compromise it so much with my desperation of self-help and Oprah and all these things.
Yes.
Like, I compromised it. I didn't want to do the job fully. I wanted to read the book, but I didn't want to go and have that conversation with that person authentically about how I felt. I wanted to hide my feelings.
Yeah.
Or if I felt sad, I wouldn't feel my feelings. I would go more into, let's watch TV, or let me go have a drink, or let me go out with my friend. It wasn't like, there's just something to be said about feeling your feelings.
Yes. Yes.
And I think in the spiritual world, we get caught up into, oh, I'm spiritual, you know, let me not feel my feelings. I'm over it.
Yeah,
I don't want to go to my past.
Spiritual bypass, they call it. Yeah.
Or putting it under the rug, you know, and that's not helpful.
Yeah. And not only is it not helpful, but it literally has physical detrimental effects. There's a gentleman by the name of Gabor Mate who wrote a book, When the Body Says No, that's all about how, like, almost every disease results from either not being able to express our feelings or share our feelings or feel our feelings. And that he studied thousands of people with, like, cancer and all these diseases, and they could tell, like, if you, like most people with cancer, they didn't have a good friend to talk to as a child. They could tell from just doing an interview that not only the fact that you had cancer, but what kind of cancer you had based on your lifestyle and based on, you know, how they lived their lives and whether they had someone to confide in or not, or what did they do in terms of when they got upset or when they were happy or angry, what people did that they could actually, he could read. So it's an amazing book. But it all comes back to that, you know, these feelings are energy. And if we suppress them, if we deny them, like, it's got to come
out
somewhere, right?
Of course. Of course it's going to come into some, where's the energy going to go to if you're going to suppress it, right?
Right.
So it's just some within actually the feeling, Sam, there is the awakening. Because as you feel them, you're able to get conscious and wake up. But if you suppress them, you can't really experience the healing. So it's vital,
right?
You know, feeling your feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, quick shout out to all of our Facebook live stream viewers. Jonathan, Mark, Joanne. Hi, Joanne. And Francis, welcome to the Facebook live stream. Glad you guys are enjoying it. Okay, so let's take another break. And when we come back, let's talk about what got you to finally say, I want to write a book. Ownership over doing that process, okay?
Absolutely. I'm excited about it.
Wonderful, Miriam. Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Legalize the earth. If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com. Legalize the earth. Continue to
resist the passage of this necessary legislation. Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of the Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on the Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking with Maria Felipe.
There you go.
I finally got it. And so Maria, we talked a lot about sort of, you know, your path and what kind of brought you to it. What got you to finally say, I want to write a book?
Well, the truth is, I didn't want to write a book.
Oh, okay.
I suffer from dyslexia. I don't feel like I'm the best at grammar.
Okay.
I actually don't like reading or writing.
So
I actually at first didn't want to. The way that it came is that I became a speaker.
Right.
I became a teacher of A Course in Miracles. So I started to travel and do conferences. I was asked by the conference or participants, the conference members or the participants for a book.
Right.
And I always felt very insecure about that. Because I didn't feel worthy or that I could write a book.
Right.
So I gave them an inspirational CD. I'm like, here's an inspirational CD. Okay, bye. So I put my three most powerful talks and I sold it a lot. I was like, here you go. Because I was pushing it away. I was like in my way. I didn't feel good enough to write a book. And talking about Facebook, I was actually having a glass of Pinot Noir and I was on Facebook and I wrote something I felt sounded good to be in a book. And I posted it on Facebook and I actually put, after the quote, I put excerpt from my book.
Oh.
And it was like, it sounded good. And I didn't even know what an excerpt was, but I kind of felt it was something from a book. It was actually a quote, but I put excerpt. And D. Patrick Miller, which edited my book, and he owns Fearless Books, and he actually was the one that brought Disappearance of the Universe, which is Gary Renard's book, to life. It's a very popular Course in Miracles book. He brought that to life. He reached out to me on Facebook, private message, and he said, I get very interested when course teachers have a book, and I want to know more about your book. And I'm like, what is this guy talking about? So the next day I look at my feet and I was like, oh no, never post while drinking alcohol. Never post while drinking alcohol. But in this case, it was a good thing.
Yes.
And I called Patrick because I was very embarrassed. And I said, Patrick, listen, I don't have a book. The truth is, it was a Pinot Noir talking. And he told me that he had seen my videos on YouTube and he had seen my work and that I speak about happiness. I was like, I do? I had no idea. He's
really?
Like, yeah, all you do is happiness this and happiness that. I was like, wow, I never knew I was like a happy teacher. He's like, yeah. And, you know, I really think that you have something to say and something self-help, but a different type of self-help, which is more speaking to the experience of living it without compromise.
Right.
And he told me that I had that skill, and I told him, no. You know, I wasn't feeling it. I was scared.
Sure.
And I had to get out of my own way, which is the sub, you know, get out of your own way and find the love within. I had to get out of my own way. And he told me to write a book proposal with him. And that felt comfortable because he says, I only needed to write very little. And I was like, okay. And as you see, my book is small.
Yeah,
there's a reason for that.
It's kind of a thin book.
It's a thin book. But it's because of that, because I didn't want something so big. I suffer so much with the self-help desperation that I wanted something to the point. Let's just go and let's live this. And And so that's what happened. And we submitted it to Hay House first, which is originally what he wanted for me because of the way that I looked. He felt that I was a good,
I could see you being
and,
a Hay House author.
They actually denied it. They didn't even want to see it.
Really?
And guess what? I was happy about that because I didn't want to write a book.
Says, right. So it's like, oh, good. I got a rejection. That gives me my excuse not to do anything.
He says that I was the happiest rejected writer he's ever met. It was so funny. So then he says, in January, what we'll do is we'll submit it again and see what happens. And then I got a couple offers, and one of them was New World Library, which are phenomenal. They're the ones that publish Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. I love New World because it worked out because it's a very, very beautiful energy there. It's very loving. Kim is the one that set this up,
Kim
my
Corbin,
publicist
yeah, yeah.
there. And there's this just love there, and it's not this huge company, you know,
it's more
like you feel like you're at home with a family.
And
I feel that that's what Spirit wanted for me because in a way I wanted that because since I'm a new writer, I needed that love and comfort. So that's how I actually got a book deal through Facebook and Pinot Noir.
That's amazing.
So you never know, you know?
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. That's incredible. Okay. So there are 9 chapters in the book. The things like you are not bad and you are not going to hell. We got to remind people of
that's
that
like
one,
the first,
right?
first one.
You are not who you think you are. You're not alone. You are the love of your life. You are now ready to practice the F word.
You're now ready to practice the F word. Yeah. But it's don't get bad
fearless.
Ideas,
I'm going to ask you about that in a second. You are fearless. You are not stuck. You're getting ready, living. You're happy. Okay. So what's the F word?
So the F word is, forgiveness. So the F word is forgiveness, which is one of the vital keys to being happy. And the Course in Miracles talks about forgiveness in a different way. You know, we're taught in the worldly forgiveness, I forgive you because you've actually done something.
Right.
Or I forgive you because I want to be the better person.
Right.
Right. So in this case, forgiveness is actually recognizing that there is nothing, like actually nothing happening.
Right.
It's coming from your mind. And forgiveness in the Course is a beautiful quote that is only remembering the love you gave and you received in the past. All else is an illusion. So it's really only remembering the love.
Right.
So forgiveness is looking at that person or situation and being responsible first.
Yes.
I'm responsible for this projection. There's a reason I'm experiencing it. Nothing's happening to me. It's coming from me.
Yeah.
And then there's a person. And then the person is just acting out their own ego. There is separation. It's only love or a call for love.
Right.
So that's the forgiveness I teach in my book, which comes from the Course. And then the third step is recognizing that nothing is really, really happening, and you can shift it and kind of have a clean slate because that person has just gotten insane for a hot second, has forgotten who they are.
Right.
And haven't we all been there, done that?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, we're here like judging politics or the worldly stuff that's going on. And judging people as insane, and we are insane.
Right.
In so many ways. Haven't you thought ugly thoughts? Haven't you gone straight to hell?
Exactly. Exactly.
So I feel that we have like this judgment outside of us, and we also do that.
Yes.
We do it a little bit different, not as bad.
Right.
But fear is fear is fear is fear.
Right.
So the third step in the first step in forgiveness is responsibility. The second step is understanding that it's actually you can perceive it and experience it the way you want. That's the forgiveness there.
Mm-hmm.
And the third step is giving it over to Holy Spirit. You can say your best friend, your inner friend, you know, your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could call it Pepe if you want. I don't care, you know. And say, hey, you know what? Let me see this another way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have a change of perception here. So the forgiveness that I'm speaking about, the F word, is so radical because you're actually saying nothing is happening to you. It's coming from you.
And then
guess what? It dissipates into the nothingness of where it came, and then you're doing the happy dance.
I heard it said once that forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves.
Yes.
You know?
And what a gift, Sam.
The
gift of giving yourself forgiveness, because you're getting yourself off the hook.
Right.
Off the hook of the dream of illusion, of fragmentation, of suffering. It's like, what a gift.
Right. I'm curious, when you were writing the book, I mean, obviously you had a lot of self-doubt sort of getting started and you know, just trying to get off the ground. But once you were in and you were writing, did you have a lot of doubts about finishing the book once you started it, or kind of like once you started, that was it, you were committed?
Yeah, once I started, I was committed. I really got on my own way. And okay. I said, but what I did was is that I did declare this would be fun. I said, okay, if I'm going to write this book, it's not going to matter. It's going to be fun. Why? Because when I was an actress, it really mattered for me. Right. And it identified me. Right. And I made my identity.
Right.
It was my source. So with the book, I said, this book is not going to matter. It's just going to be fun. And I'm going to have a great process with it. And I think that's why it turned out the way it did, because I didn't identify myself with a writer or an author. And it was very easy for me, because I wasn't like, oh, am I going to do it perfect? Am I not going to do it perfect? What is Patrick going to think? Right. You know, is my writing okay? Right. I really let go of the self-concept of being a writer, which I think blocks a lot of writers, because they identify and then they get writer's block and all these things. For me, it was so easy because I didn't care. And it's not like I didn't care like that. It was more like it didn't identify me. Like I'm really grateful I have the book, but the book doesn't define me, and the numbers don't define me. It doing well doesn't define me. It's like source does, love does. Like that's what I'm up to. Why? Because I did it the other way with my acting career and it sucked. So now with the book, as a writer, it's going to be fun.
Right.
And it's not going to identify me. So that's how it all came about, you know.
And so when did it come out?
It came out in April.
In April.
Yes.
Okay, so it's been out a few months already.
Yes, it's been out a few months.
What kind of reactions have you had to it so far?
I've had really great reactions. I've had people get a lot of healing and get and be very surprised, because it's a short book. It looks like a short book, but it's a book that really goes straight to your heart and inspires you to do the practices. Every chapter has a practice.
Oh, okay.
But they're simple.
Yeah.
I feel that sometimes the practices are just overwhelming and too much, at least for me.
Yeah, yeah, for me too. I like things simple. Like, give me something. Don't give me these long, complicated meditations. Don't give me these long, complicated. Give me something simple to do.
Simple.
Because the simpler it is, the more likely I am to do it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's too complicated, it's like, oh, I got to figure this out. That takes even more effort. And then the natural human tendency is I'll do it later. And then later never happens.
Yeah, and also that's the ego part, you know, the fearful part of your mind. It's like it doesn't have, it's too okay with mind wandering. The Course in Miracles says our mind is too okay with mind wandering. That it's not consistent. It's not consistent with love thoughts. It's very consistent with fear thoughts, but not love thoughts. So if you go into the intellectual of too many exercises or have to do too many things, you're eventually not going to do it, because your ego is on time. I got to go get the tea. I got to go, you know, meet this person for lunch. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to do these practices. So the practices that I have there are worldly ones. You have it with the cash register at the supermarket. You have it with your friend you're meeting at coffee with. So you experience the practices while living it, my relationship with yourself, with you right now, my relationship with myself. The most important thing is, what the hell are you thinking? You know, we wake up in the morning. You know, I talk about in my book, the two thought systems, which is love and fear.
Uh-huh.
Of course, talks about it. Or, you know, love and cuckoo, you know, the cuckoo voice. So in the book, the cuckoo voice talks a lot of caca. Have you heard this? So it's like, so I feel that in this society, we're just wake up in the morning and we don't even are discerning, like, where's my mind going? Am I thinking thoughts of fear right now, which are going to take you straight to hell, which is right here, right now. It's not somewhere you go to later.
Right.
I don't know if you got that memo. And the second one is, if you think love thoughts, you're going to go straight to love and to heaven.
So, which is right here, right now, too.
Which is right here, right now. And it's up to us. I think that's so powerful to understand as society, especially now when there's a circus going on right now, you know, in consciousness. I mean, it's a circus. Have you turned on the news? It's like, it's like freaking elephants and monkeys all over the freaking place, you know? So I feel that right now, more so, we need to discern what the heck are we thinking, because we, the Course says, have dominion over our experience. And that's powerful. You can experience anything the way you want.
Right.
Because, Sam, everything's really neutral.
Right.
Whatever you might say to me is always neutral.
Right.
It's the thoughts that I think about what you're saying.
Right. It's how we interpret it. It's the meaning we make from it.
Yes.
That causes us all kinds of agita.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Believe it or not, I think it's time for us to take our last break of the show. So when we come back, we'll let you know how you can get Maria's book. And if there's anything coming up that you want to mention to our audience, you can do that. And also, I just want to know, like, what's your favorite chapter in the book?
Awesome.
All right. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Maria Felipe, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Mark Torres.
And Pronto Comics' own Dominic Sperano.
And listen to our show, It Came From the Radio, right here on talkradio.nyc, every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about entertainment, movies,
comic books, and other news.
So make sure you check us out. That's right here, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Wednesday, talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Waking Humanity. We've been talking this hour with Maria Felipe about her book, Live Your Happy, Get Out of Your Own Way and Find the Love Within.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So what's your favorite chapter in the book?
So my favorite chapter is You're Getting Ready.
You're
which
ready.
Is towards the end.
All right.
And the reason I love that chapter is originally my book was only supposed to be 7 chapters, but I wasn't making my word count. You know, in the middle of it, Patrick is like, you don't have enough words for your word count for your contract. And he said I had to write 2 more chapters. And I was not so happy about that at the beginning because I didn't want to write anymore because I don't like to write.
Right.
So basically there's 2 chapters that are added, which is one of them is you're getting ready and you're not stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting ready. You're not stuck. We're originally not in the book proposal.
Okay.
So what I like about these 2 chapters is that they didn't have any outline. So there was really this whole spirit-driven, these are very spirit-driven chapters because there's no agenda. There wasn't an outline like I'm going to say this and this here.
Gotcha.
It was more I sat down and I kind of just allowed it to come forth.
Right.
Plus it came to really help and sustain the book because I had written so much of it that I kind of helps the reader even more have more of a foundation towards the end.
Right.
And it's so spontaneous.
Right.
Those 2 chapters are so spontaneous.
Gotcha.
So they're very helpful.
So what are you getting ready for? What is you are getting ready?
Well, you're getting ready is basically the chapter that is like very unconsciously like helping you to get ready for what's coming, which is you recognizing that you have everything and lack nothing. And you're getting ready is you really getting out of your comfort zones.
Okay.
Because we get into our comfort zones of like, this is fine, like living like this and waking up every morning, this is fine. Or you just get comfortable and you don't want to, move, or you don't want to, maybe say something to your ex-wife because you're not going to be able to see your kids. And, and like, this is, you're getting ready to be completely willing to let go of your old self. Your old self, which is I call the small s self, instead of the true self with a capital S.
Right.
So it's like you're getting ready to completely peel off all this caca, all this like past grievances, fragmentations. For me, it was like really getting out of my own way and believing I could be a writer and like really just giving death to that. So you're getting ready to step into truth. You're getting ready to live the happiness that you're worthy of. You're getting ready to you know, start to live happy without compromise, and really, really get ready to understand that nothing outside of you could ever make you happy. Like, it's very elusive happiness.
Right.
The happiness is already yours. It's your inheritance. It's your divine right. It's where you come from. You know, in the course it says happiness is your function and happiness is what you are. And I think that we're always under that happy umbrella. We're always really inherently happy, even when we're sad.
Yes.
Because people always ask me, can you be happy all the time? Yeah. Why? Because it's what you are. How could you not be? It's just for a hot second, you have forgotten who you are. So you go to some faraway land, which is hell in your mind. But you're still under the happy umbrella. You just forgot.
Right.
And then you're back. You're like, oh, I'm happy again.
Gotcha.
It's because it's what you are.
Yeah, yeah. Abraham says it's kind of like holding a cork underwater. The only reason like we're not happy is because we're resisting it. And when you let go of the cork, it naturally floats up. So if we just naturally stop resisting who and what we really are, we float up to the top and we're naturally happy.
Exactly. Which is our natural state. Right. It's just that for so long in society, we've bought into that fear is natural.
Right.
Fear is natural. Depression is natural. Feeling sad is normal. Oh, you know, I'm so sorry you feel sad, Sam. You know, it's right, like right. We've got caught into this whole like prescription drug phenomenon and it's like, and all this like stuff, external stuff. And I'm saying here, how about opposite?
Right.
How about easy is normal?
Right. Yeah.
How about happiness is normal?
Right.
How about joy is normal? And right. It's not a pretend, you know, this book is not cheerleader happiness. It's not pretending either. We have to be very mindful here.
Right.
It's like within the happiness, you are authentic and you do appear to get sad. You do appear to get angry, but you're still under the happy umbrella.
Right.
You're still under it. It's just that you have to feel all these feelings to come back and recognize that you've never left your source.
Right.
But it's very natural. Happiness is what we are. So I get asked a lot in interviews, you know, can you be happy all the time? Yes. Why? Because it's what we are.
See, I don't ask that question because I know the answer already.
Yeah. And you don't ask it because I was supposed to say it, you know. So it always works out that way.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned from writing this book and publishing the book and going on your book tour? What have you learned over the last 6-9 months?
Well, what I've learned is freedom. And freedom of that I was so wanting to cultivate in my life because I didn't have that before when I was an actress. It's the freedom of not being defined by this book. For it to be, I'm grateful about it and I'm having a lot of fun with it, but not getting caught up into its numbers or getting caught up to I'm an author, a writer, or like this book really matters.
So in a way, it's kind of like a lesson of detachment in a way.
Yeah.
That, you know, you've created this thing and you're putting this thing out there, but what happens with it happens with it. That's not a reflection of who you are.
Yes. Yes. And that's why I say freedom. Like that's the first word that came up for me. And then trust. It's like when we're living, I talk about trust a lot in my book. 7, chapter 9 is actually all about trust and trusting the process, like trusting the book tour of where I'm going to go, the cities I'm going to go to. I went to the cities that are most exciting instead of the ones I thought were going to be more popular, bring me more income. So it was like just trusting in that the book is going to get into the hands that it's supposed to, trusting that the right amount of people are supposed to show up to my workshop. Even if it's one person, not personalizing anything.
Right.
That's another thing because I don't personalize things. It's not like it's not personal to me that somebody doesn't show up to my workshop, but it's not personal to me. Like if I do, I had an event at in Maine for Barnes & Nobles and not one person showed up.
Really?
And I didn't personalize it. I could hardly care. I was excited because then I was going to go have dinner. And I actually got to sign 10 books and the store was so happy I was there. And they announced it on the intercom and we had these nice set up. And I signed 10 books that they kept and they were very happy. And I was very happy because I got a break. I've been speaking for 5 days straight.
Right.
And Spirit's like, you're going to have a break here.
Right.
Instead of my ego getting all pissed off. Oh my God, I'm in Barnes & Noble's. Like, I don't have anybody show up. No, because I'm not defined by that.
Right.
I'm defined by God, by the love that's within my heart. I'm defined by a higher power that has nothing to do with form. And then I'm free.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. What do you hope people take away from your book? Like if someone just read your book, what do you think is like the one thing you want them to remember more than anything else out of the book?
Well, I want them to remember exactly what we're talking about is to remember that there isn't anything in form that can make you happy or complete you. But not only that, it doesn't stay there. Is that you have to live that in your life. You have to take from it of like working it. You got to work it. You got to work it. You know, Missy Elliott's song. Like, you need to go out there and you got to work it. And take away, you know, not compromising that. Like, forgive even if you don't want to forgive.
Right.
Be responsible even if you don't want to be responsible.
Right.
Feel your feelings even if you don't want to feel them because it sucks. Like, you want to do that because there's where the healing is going to take place.
Right.
So if anything, it's really work it, because I'm tired of the self-help and being desperate with the self-help.
This book is coming from a seminar junkie, they call it sometimes, right?
It's like, let's go out, and that's fine, do the seminars, read the book, whatever, but you know go practice, you know,
go
work it.
Exactly. So where can people find your book? I mean, you mentioned Barnes & Noble. So
yeah, they have it at Barnes & Noble all over the country. So you can actually walk into the bookstore, and we could support the bookstores and get out there buying books.
For a change.
You can also go to any bookstore in your area and order the book, because it's available through Ingram. You also have Amazon as well, that people are buying it through there. You can also go to my website, mariafelipe.org. New book. So it's new/book.
Okay.
And you can get it there, and you could also get a pre-order video. If you put your receipt number from Amazon.
Cool. So do you have anything in the future coming up that you'd like to let the audience know about? Any workshops, any events?
Yes, actually on Saturday.
Which is this Saturday.
You
got to do my date.
July such and such.
10th? No, July 8th.
July 8th. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
July 8th, I'll be speaking at Unity of Hollywood in Miami. So I'll be doing their Sunday service in the morning.
Oh, nice.
And then after, I'll be doing a Live Your Happy workshop.
Okay.
And then from there, we're off to LA.
Right.
And then I'll be in Utah for a fundraiser for Course in Miracles.
Oh.
So if anybody wants to look that up, we're doing a fundraiser
in Salt Lake?
In Salt Lake City, yeah.
Okay, good.
Utah, we're doing a fundraiser for the FIP version, for the blue version, to help with the translations and such. So I'll be there in Utah. And then also, if you go to my website, mariafelipe.org/tour, you'll be able to see the other places I'll be for the rest of the year.
Wonderful. And if, if people want to get in touch with you and stuff, just to do it through your website?
My website, yeah. I have a contact button there.
One more time, here's her book. Maria Felipe, Live Your Happy, a wonderful book. I highly recommend you go out and get it. It will definitely help to feel more fun in your life. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your book tour and busy schedule to come into the studio today.
Thank you, Sam. It was fun, and I loved your questions. They're very helpful. And as I said at the beginning, this is what it's about. This is what matters, collaborating together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Absolutely.
Thank you. You got it, sister. All right. So, and of course, a big thank you to all of our viewers and all of our listeners. Hope you had a good 4th of July this past Tuesday and enjoyed the warm weather here in New York and enjoyed the fireworks. We have lots of shows still tomorrow and Friday, and there are going to be some changes to the schedule next week. So, and we got a new show coming on board the station. So make sure you go to the website, go to talkradio.nyc, sign up for our newsletter so you can learn all about it. So thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.